When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Mattingly swings and he has a drive to deep right center. It is high, it is far, it is gone. Back to back, then a belly to belly.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Wife in. On this Wednesday morning, how we doing? Get up as we start our day. 877-337-6666. All right, so real quick, Marco is about, you know, as excited for a piece of sound as he's never, like, every once in a while he goes, you hear this, but he's like, I've never heard anything like this. Tyrese Halliburton has two distinct different voices, and I don't know what to do with it. So I'm like, all right, we got to figure this out. So obviously Tyrese Halliburton coming off what did he score? 12-point performance in a victory, 125-108 to even the series over the Milwaukee Bucks. They're now tied 1-1 heading into Indiana for game three. Big win for them after getting just blown out in game one. So I guess this is in the post game of last night's game.
This is post. Now, I will preface this. I've heard Halliburton before, so mm-hmm. I was aware of the two different voices. I've just never heard a human being other than Tyrese Halliburton have two different voices.
I've never heard that. I mean, I guess I've heard him before. I've never really took note, and I've never noticed him having two distinct.
Then you didn't really truly listen to him.
No, I guess
there is no way.
Yeah, it must be like Jimmy. You can hear Jimmy, but I guess I've never listened to Jimmy. So we're going to find out what Tyrese Halliburton sounds like. I'm fascinated how someone can have two different voices. Now, as a radio host and listening to radio shows a lot, I've heard two different voices. Richard Neer is infamous for having conversations with himself in two different voices.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but that's putting on a voice. You do not think he's not putting on a voice.
He claims, because I've heard this before, he claims he doesn't do it on purpose and doesn't realize it. But afterwards, people have told him, and he's like, "I've heard it back. You're right. I just don't notice it. I don't hear it. I don't know it, and I'm not doing it on purpose."
All right.
He claims.
All right, I'm excited to hear because I don't know what you're talking about. So here's Tyrese Halliburton and the two sides of Tyrese after last night's victory over the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I'm expecting it to be unbelievable. You know, no doubt about that. I mean, we've had regular season crowds better than what we've played in these last two games, you know. So we expect a great crowd. A lot of people are excited about what's to come, you know, in the series. And,
you know, just the energy in the city right now with everything that's going on, but especially with us. So, you know, we're excited to go.
That is not edited.
What? That?
That is not all of a sudden on helium, Tyrese Halliburton. That is the same man who has two distinct different voices.
Okay,
one of them is beyond deep, and the other one is apparently, on an octave that I can't even reach.
Okay. Now, I did not see it coming. And I thought
I set you up for this.
The camera was on to catch your face.
I thought it was going to be like the next question. I didn't know it was going to be mid-sentence. Here's my thought, okay? And this might be gross. I don't want to be gross. But occasionally, now if this happens a lot, then it's not this. But occasionally, if you get like a little bit of phlegm caught in your throat as you speak, it can, like I've had that before where all of a sudden I felt like I was kind of talking like this or something in the middle of speaking.
Really, that gives you helium?
No. Let me hear that one more. But I'm just saying, it's got to be something like that. Because he almost like, and then sounds different. I've never heard that before in my life. Let me hear this one more time. This is the same person.
Yeah, I'm expecting it to be unbelievable. You know, no doubt about that. I mean, we've had regular season crowds better than what we've played in these last two games, you know. So we expect a great crowd. A lot of people are excited about what's to come, you know, in the series. And,
you know, just the energy in the city right now with everything that's going on, but especially with us. So, you know, we're excited to go.
You can hear a change in that first.
You can hear a change. It's like Christopher Lloyd in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
And that's not something stuck in his throat. Stop.
No, I know.
That's why I also prefaced it with he claims. Because I do wonder if this is just an inside joke with Tyrese Halliburton messing with all of us and he's going to do it for his whole career.
It sounds
because
natural.
I would actually like that better than you go through life like this. You can't control your voice. You have no idea what octave you're on. I mean, it's just, you know, you have no presence of mind. You have no control of your vocal cords.
That is so bizarre.
Could you imagine if the Knicks did draft him over Obi Toppin and you were cutting up this sound every day and we were hearing it every day during the season?
No.
For 4 years?
No, because I don't think I'd be able to get through it. Because every time I'd be like, you got to be kidding me.
You could have multiple, like, you could have different cuts in the same segment, like, just shorten it, and it would be two different. The transition. But you could, like, over the course of a night, like, if he were playing for the Knicks and had a big night, you could have multiple cuts, some in one voice, some in the other.
We have it cut up in two. Like, and if someone, if he played, here's this person, and told you the next one, here's another person, you would think it was
someone
else. You would
think it's a different person. I'm telling you right now, that is a more dramatic tone change and voice change than innings in the Met broadcast. They sound more...
You are 100% right.
Those two people...
Keith Rad and Pat McCarthy.
Keith Rad and Pat McCarthy. Two separate people sound more alike than just one person, just Halliburton doing a post game. By a lot.
By a lot, because I have no idea who's
I have no idea. They sound exactly the same. I have no, and every single tape op that's out there, I've been asked four times over the last this baseball season, like, hey, do you know which one?
It's possible.
I have
highlights from both. You want to display quick?
Yes. Let's see. What's time?
You tell me.
You almost got to make this a game, though. Who's who?
Because
I'm curious, because I don't know.
Once now, twice the 1-0. Breaking ball, swung on, smashed to left field. Nimmo over towards the line. He's not going to get there. It falls in, a base hit. Flores around third. He scores. Lee is right on his heels as he comes to the plate. And he'll score without a throw.
Here comes the 0-2. Lifted in the air to shallow left. McNeil racing in. He slides. Can't get it. It drops in on the grass for a hit.
So the levels are louder on the second one.
Yes,
that's
the
from
levels
tonight
are louder.
Last night, the one was two nights ago.
Yeah. But the voice is so similar. It's impossible to tell the difference between them.
I think I've sat everybody that walked through the halls down. Can listen to these two cuts. Can you tell me which
the
one's which?
The only reason I know is if I can find what inning it was, I know how they distribute the innings.
Right. If you know the pattern, if
but
you know how they do
voice,
it.
But voice, no chance.
There's no chance.
No idea.
Tyrese Halliburton on his own sounds different than two different men doing the same broadcast. That is so... You could listen, to 3 hours of a Met broadcast or 30 seconds of a post-game answer from Tyrese Halliburton. And that the 30 seconds, you'd get more unique voices. How is that possible?
It's almost alien-esque. Like, how the hell do you not have control of your voice? I understand sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. We get emotional, we get loud. I do that. My octave will go. You have no control of anything.
That is, does it go? It goes in and out completely, or it's just
you just heard
he talks for a while and then it goes to the other one. Does it ever go back?
Oh yeah,
it goes back and forth.
Because that's where I first found it. I forget what the long form interview was. It's possible it was when he was with Pat McAfee. I'll give him a shout for just
saying there was something about him on JJ Redick's podcast.
So maybe it was that. I've heard it before where I was like, what the hell is that? Because I was listening to it and going, how the hell did that? Yeah. Like, did I just change something? Because I wasn't watching it. I was just listening to it. And then whoever was interviewing went, you have two different voices. He's like, you know, I've heard that. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? How is that possible?
I've heard that.
You should hear that from everybody you ever speak to.
Yeah, right.
Guy in the streets would be like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Oh, Godfather's a great movie. You know, I've heard that. No, you sound completely different from 1 second to the next. One more time. I have to hear it one more time. I have to hear Halliburton one more time.
Yeah, I'm expecting it to be unbelievable.
That is such a deep,
raspy. No doubt about that. I mean, we've had regular season crowds better than what we've played in these last two games, you know. So we expect a great crowd. A lot of people are excited about what's to come, you know, in the series. And,
you know, just the energy in the city right
and
now.
And that was
Mighty Mouse. Going on, but especially with us. So, you know, we're excited to go.
You know what's lost in all that? I mean, he's throwing the Milwaukee crowd right under the bus. No one hears it.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter anymore. It's just the idea that, like,
I'm straight up listening to tone, the amount of just to make sure it's the same person and the same speech pattern. And it is.
He could be telling me my future and I'd miss it.
No, absolutely. That is so bizarre. He'd be an excellent catfisher.
Is that what we aspire to?
He'd be good at it. He could be completely. Hold on, now you got to talk. You got to talk to my stepbrother, and then the voice comes on. It's completely different.
Could you imagine having him on as a guest and like going through an interview and the voice keeps changing? You'd be lost.
I wouldn't hear anything he's saying. All I would keep saying is, "What? Why do you have two different voices?"
That's crazy.
I've heard that. Yeah, I know. And you're going to keep hearing me saying it because what? Why the hell do you have two different voices?
I've heard.
Like
that.
I need to know. Like, did this develop?
Yeah.
When he was a teenager, is this recent?
Yeah. Did something happen?
What, you get knocked in the head?
Well, get hit in the throat? I don't know. It's possible.
Kicked in the head, got two different voices.
Yeah, something wrong with your
head. Hit by a mule, goes right back. Yeah.
Fell down a well, eyes go crossed, kicked in the head by a mule, go back to bed normal. I mean, yeah, maybe something like that happened. It's possible. It could happen.
If I clench my fist, it's the deep voice. If I let it out,
is there something he could do to go through it? I'm telling you.
Is there someone he could talk to figure this out and to help him with?
Is this like a speech
therapy?
Would you care?
I would.
Like, would you need to change it? Like, would you need to get it fixed? Like, for example, like every time, like I've moved a couple of times, I've had different dentists throughout the years of my life. And every time I go to a new dentist, he's like, you know, I could fix that gap in your teeth. And I'm like, no, it's me. Like, I'm comfortable. I know I have a gap in my tooth. I understand that, but it's not perfect, but it is what it is. It's me. I really don't want to change it. Like, if you had something that distinct and you've dealt with it your whole life, but it's you, like, would you want to change it?
I've never had this. This would
annoy you?
I guess if you don't know, it can't annoy you.
Yeah.
But the idea that you would be asked every 5 minutes by everyone you come across, hey, you got two different voices. Yeah, I think I'd want to fix that. The fact that I have no control
of
my own body.
He's at a restaurant ordering dinner.
Yeah. I guess,
I mean, maybe people are cool. Maybe they're cooler than me that they would just, I don't know, not notice it or maybe not say anything. I shouldn't say not notice because you can't possibly not notice this. But you just let it go.
I would assume, if I was talking to him, I would assume what I thought, that he just, for whatever reason, had something in his throat, the voice changed. It would take like a little bit of back and forth and back and forth before I would even
This wouldn't take a volley. I'll be fair. This would be pretty quick where I'd have a tendency to look at, what's up with your voice? Why do you have... What's going on with the voice?
Very bizarre.
To admit, you're sick? Something wrong?
That is some of the weirdest. That's crazy.
And I would struggle more with. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you've heard that before?
You would think you've gotten to the bottom of it. I have a condition or something.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. That's why if you heard that enough, if you've never known, you didn't. How could you know? I get it. You hear that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I would want to talk to someone. Let's see if we could fix this. Because, again, you're in not control of your own voice. That makes no sense.
And don't you have to hear the difference when, like, speaking? Just even a little bit?
I don't know. I would think so, but we also don't hear ourselves the way our voices sound. You know that. When you hear it back, and you're like, I didn't know it was like that.
If our voices completely change, it wouldn't sound like you're hearing it, but it would sound different.
Well, I would like to think if you know.
Well, when you take helium, it sounds different to you when you talk. Or like me, if I ever get that phlegm stuck in my throat, I can tell that I have that unique
situation.
Right,
we don't hear ourselves the way others hear us, but we can tell if there's a change in our own voice.
Again, he claims he doesn't know, and he didn't do it on purpose. I'm wondering if it's an elaborate inside joke, now I'm intrigued, and I also have a lot of respect.
Now he's like Christian Bale in The Prestige.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If this is like a magic trick.
Now he's like, he lives this. Like, everywhere he goes, he has to, like, every time he talks to someone. Now he's, you know, every time he dates someone, months at a time, constantly putting on multiple voices just to fool people. That's an all-timer.
Well, so now I have respect. If that's the case, then now I'm in. I'm not only intrigued, I have total respect for you.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something that to be marveled at.
Yeah. No, that's like something, you did something to try and get out of something and got caught and then claimed, no, I have this condition with two voices and just rolled with it. For years, like
the Costanza elbow,
you got caught, you know, faking a voice to get out of, you know, call out sick or go to school, and like, I didn't mean to. That just happens. It's my throat. I have two voices. It's weird. I know. And then you just roll with it, for life. You got caught in a lie. Now multiple people are aware of this lie, and just every time you're around them, and then you were around other people while you were around them, and so on and so on and so on until the point where it's just like I have to live this lie. I have to live this two-voice lie. Otherwise, I'm going to be found out, and eventually it's going to get all the way back to Mrs. O'Grady when I lied about missing homework.
We are down a rabbit hole that I'm fascinated with.
Yeah.
Because that would, if that's the case, now I know you can't tell me because Tyrese Halliburton doesn't know me and he doesn't know that I'm going to keep that secret. Mm-hmm. But I would want to know this.
Right.
So this was something that came up when you were like 14-ish and it was a lie that you had to your parents and you just don't want to still be caught in it, even though you're a professional athlete.
Yep.
And it's gone through your whole life and there's so many people that are wrapped up into it that you just can't let it go.
Yep.
And it's become part of your identity.
Yep.
Wouldn't you just like when you got sick, then just say, I lost one of the two voices and go back to the natural one?
No. You got to stick with it. You got to roll with it.
I don't know. You I think you got to live the gimmick.
I respect it.
I think that's the whole point. That for make it believable, you got to live the gimmick. I'm into that. Again, I'd like that better.
That would be awesome.
I'm good with that. Out,
if it's the long con of all time, it's the best.
Then I'm good. If you're conning me, I'm in.
Yep.
Serious question.
This is
can
your
you
real
have
life?
A broadcast career after this as a color guy?
No.
No, right?
No. How could you possibly listen to this and still be able to focus on the game?
I agree with you. I don't think you can.
It would be awesome. You get double pay.
DiVincenzo. It could be, bang! No, you can't do it. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work.
It's an instant three-man booth.
No.
I'm just saying. You get two for the price of one.
No way you can listen and take it seriously. If this guy's trying to make a point about what you need to do defensively in this stop, and he's going up and down with his octave. No. No. You don't hear anything.
I've never heard. That is bizarre. I've never heard anything like that in my life. I've never heard so dramatic. I did not expect it to be so dramatic.
I tried to set you up.
You did. You told me. You warned me, and I still wasn't prepared for it. There are some things in life. It's like, when you have a kid, your life's going to change. You're never going to get sleep. It doesn't matter what people tell you. You can never prepare for that moment. You can't prepare someone for that voice change.
It had the same effect on me. When Marco showed me a couple hours ago, I'm like, there's no way it could be that drastic. And then when I heard it, I said, this is all I'm going to be able to think about the rest of the day.
That's it. I'm going to be like Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
You're going to go home and you're going to want to tell your wife.
Yeah, I'm going
to. This is the kind of thing you need to share
with
people.
Oh, no doubt, yeah. This is the kind of thing that would be perfect for the Wake Up Sarah segment. Like, I've had the thought of just, like, calling my wife in the middle of the morning just to go, hey, you'll never guess, Tyrese Halliburton has two voices. Okay, go back to bed, honey.
Can I be there for that segment?
Yeah.
I need. I don't want to speak. I'm not going to do the Halliburton. I'm not going to do Tyrese. I just want to hear that segment. Yes.
I think it's a great idea.
I want to hear the Wake Up Sarah segment. Yeah. I do. I really do. I really do.
As a host the next day when Chris is dead.
Yeah. Really do.
I think we should do it. I think we should do it. I got to come up with it. It's something better than this, but we will do it. I think that'd be really funny. Just wake her up for just like some pointless factoid.
I will throw in the first one, maybe late. First one, she has to be working that day.
Oh, yeah, no, it's got to be a miserable wake-up that she... Yes. And this is the right hour because she gets up around 5 o'clock. So if I call her at like 4:40 and screw her out of the last 20 minutes of sleep, that's even better. Because if I call her at 2, she's got an opportunity to go back to sleep for a few hours. I got to do it where it's like, now I've really screwed you out of like the last good half hour of sleep.
Okay. I would say the 3:40 where you just mess up everything.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, because I gotta
figure it out.
I gotta be fair. I don't think that 20 minutes. I don't think at any point if you're gonna do a Wake Up Sarah segment.
See, I disagree.
There's nothing that's gonna win. Right, you're gonna lose regardless.
Even an hour, you can go back to sleep. I think the last screwing someone out of 20 minutes pisses me off. Like if I get woken up and I know I have like 25 minutes or something like that, and now there's no going back to sleep. That even an hour, you could go back to sleep and get 50-45 minutes. The last half, under a half hour, really bothers me.
I'm with C-Mac 100%.
That's when
there's
I'm really
more frustrating
annoyed.
Than waking up like 20 minutes before your alarm.
Yeah, no, that's
off.
The worst. An hour I can go back to sleep. 20 minutes.
Be fair. You wake up your wife at any point during the middle of the night with two kids at home and she's got to go to work, bro, you're going to lose. I don't care what the hell time you pick.
You lose that battle.
I don't care what 20 minutes, 6 hours. I don't care what you're doing. You woke her up and she's got to get up. No, that's a problem.
Okay. Well, that's the whole point of the segment. It's no fun if I'm not in trouble. That's the whole point of the segment.
That's what I said. I want to hear.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
Hey, you just have a different idea of fun than we do.
Yeah.
I also was kind of cruising for the 340 because I'm still here. 440.
Okay, 340.
That makes sense. Yeah.
All right, 877-337-6666. The two voices of Halliburton. Who would have known? It actually sounds like a Twilight Zone episode.
You know, in the series and, just the energy in the city right now.
That is so bizarre. 877-337-6666. All right. We'll come back with your phone calls. I know we took the 4 o'clock segment there. It was worth it. I have no regrets about that 20 minutes. None. Because I've never experienced anything like that in my life. We'll do a little bit more on the NFL draft. The Garden, 4 for 4. Four nights in a row, four straight victories as the Rangers take down the Caps 4-3 in a game that, yes, it sounds 4-3 was close, and yes, you had your heart in your throat the last 2.5 minutes or so as the Caps pulled the goalie, but ultimately, they're the far better team. They dominated this hockey game, and they head to Washington ready to hopefully have a short series. We got the Knicks still going on, and both baseball teams, the Mets, you know how we treat three-game losing streaks? The sky is falling. The lousy Mets can't hit. They need J.D. Martinez back. And the Yankees actually score some runs in the fourth.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Ball game over. A perfect game. A perfect game for David Cone.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 429, McMonigle with you. I'm still struggling with trying to understand what the hell just happened. I had no idea. I had not heard this before. This was the first time you heard it too, Fleegs, right? I just want to make sure I'm not the only one.
About a little after 1 o'clock was the first time I heard it.
I'd never noticed he had two voices. Amazing.
And you're right, like Marco rarely ever like runs in here. He'll tell me when he comes in for an update, like 2 minutes before.
Yeah, no, he was.
Check this out. He came like, you got
to
hear this.
No, he told me, yeah, that's exactly how he put it. He's like, you have to hear this. I'm like, okay. And it was worth it. 877-337-6666. If you just turned on your radio and you have no idea what I'm talking about, you could use the Odyssey app. You go back to 4 o'clock and the multiple voices. Tyrese Halliburton. It's quite the phenomenon. Go back and check it out. You go back, check out the open at 2 a.m. where we talked about the Garden and the Rangers and the Knicks. 4-for-4 on four back-to-back nights. Someone tweeted at me, it's the first time since 1970 that four straight games on consecutive days. Now, they played a doubleheader on one of the days, so it was only 3 days, but still, four games. Two from the Rangers, two from the Knicks. All wins. All playoff wins. First time since 1970, we've seen four consecutive wins on multiple days in a row from Rangers and Knicks. And to start this road to what we hope will be, at the very least, certainly for the Rangers, a couple of Eastern Conference Finals appearances or long playoff runs. I mean, right now it's as good as it gets with the improbable, amazing, and wonderful victory of the Knicks the other night, and the ho-hum, matter-of-fact, flat-out, we're better than you victories of the Rangers, where their strengths, the power play, the penalty kill, as they score a beautiful shorthanded goal. Zibanejad, number one star, best player on the ice last night. Igor's played well, and this team, despite it being close, is far better, and hopefully it's a short series, and we know what's in store in Philadelphia. For the Knicks moving forward, and they're going to need their star to be much better moving forward. But what a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. The Yankees score four runs in an inning. Who knew? Judge seems to be coming out of it. And the Mets, after going on an unbelievable run, six-game winning streak, winning all those series in a row, getting off to this West Coast trip with a great start, winning the first two in Los Angeles, have now dropped the last three in a row. The offense has gone completely kaput. Two out of the last three games, they've allowed a starting pitcher. Now, both of them are aces in Tyler Glass now and Logan Webb. But two out of the last three games, including last night against Webb, eight innings of shutout baseball thrown at them over the last two. The offense has gone ice cold. They really haven't shown a pulse in San Francisco, losing three in a row. And they need, with losing Alvarez, they certainly need another bat in that lineup, and they await J.D. Martinez, who hopefully will join the team this weekend, Friday at the earliest, hopefully at least this weekend, and can go about trying to fix this offense that desperately needs a little infusion as they've come back to earth after a really hot start. 877-337-6666. Oh, and I forgot to mention, the New York Giants are looking to move up and draft Drake May. The perfect scenario. The strong-arm pocket quarterback who's a little bit of a project. Sounds just like Josh Allen. Let's go. Perfect fit for the New York Giants. That's the report from Jordan Renan. that they are looking to trade up and draft May. I think it's a perfect combination with him and Brian Daboll. It's exactly what the Giants should do. I don't care how many holes you have. When you know the quarterback is one, that's the first hole you try and fill. And at least, at the very least, it sounds like the Giants understand that they do not have their quarterback of the future, despite the contract given out last year, and they need to figure that out. And I'm sure it's a tough sell on ownership. I'm sure nobody's thrilled at the idea they gave this contract to Daniel Jones and looking to move on. But hey, neck injuries, knee injuries, ineffective play, it's time to move on. And we'll see if the Giants are going to be able to accomplish that fact and move up and trade, hopefully with the Patriots at three, who are open for business. At least that's what their GM says. 877-337-6666. Maury in Belmore is on the fan. What's up, Maury?
Yeah, how you doing?
Tonight is your night, bro. How we doing?
I'm changing the voice up a little bit. You know how I feel like. Hey, how you doing? Anyway, what's up, brother?
What's going on?
I like the voice change. That's beautiful. I got to try that.
Yeah, I mean, it's different.
When I call my wife. When I call my wife, I tell her I'll be home late.
Anyway, yeah, I wouldn't call my wife with any voice changes. You gotta
listen, I'm 100 years old, but when we used to do prank calls, that was when I learned how to do stuff like that about 55 years ago.
Oh, of course. No, I mean, yeah, prank phone calls were it was my generation too. My early childhood, we had the Jerky Boys. Yeah, I had all the Jerky Boys CDs.
I don't need to speak to you, Jerky.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that stuff.
Frank Rizzo, R-I-Z-Z-O.
So I sell cars. I sell. You know, every once in a while I smash them over the head, but I sell.
Yeah, I got you.
Well, that's probably one of the greatest.
Those phone calls were great. Yeah, the fake Jeopardy contestant was one of my favorites. Go ahead.
Oh, so good. Should I bring my glasses? That was one of my favorites. Saul Rosenberg.
Yeah, right. Oh. Yeah.
All right. Yes. All right. So let's start with the Giants. If they don't get May, if they can't pull it, I don't want J.J. McCarthy. If we can get Neighbors, I'd love to get Neighbors if we can't get May. I just want to avoid McCarthy because I feel like he's just another Daniel Jones, and he's going nowhere. For some reason, I see him on the Jets. I don't know why, J.J. McCarthy. I feel like he's going to be drafted by the Jets at that point.
He's not going to be drafted by the Jets.
No. And then, listen, I feel like the Yankees are going back to their lack of offense. I don't know what it is. I know the Judge is talking about it again, but is it something? I don't know what to do. Is Giancarlo eventually going to – do we have to eventually get rid of him this year?
No.
What do we do?
Well, what's the matter with Giancarlo? He's one of the better – he got the big hit in this game last night. He's been okay. Other than the fact that he kind of, you know, eats up the designated hitter spot and he can't run.
That's the problem I have.
Yeah, I understand that. But
his ability is gone. We don't have DJ anymore. DJ's probably out for the rest of the season.
Yes, I know. That was the news that came out of today.
Doesn't look good at all.
No. Well, we'll see. He leaves the game, and thank you for the call, Maury. He leaves the game in Somerset after one at bat with a sore foot. And I told you, to me, it's not that. I didn't even mention it there, going through the at the top of the hour here, going through the stuff again, because you know what? Honestly, I didn't expect anything from DJ LeMahieu. The minute DJ LeMahieu went on the IL with a foot injury, and then it was just a bruise, and then it was something, and more imaging showed a hairline fracture or whatever it was. Like, just no, I'm done with it. I was looking forward to DJ LeMahieu this year. He was supposedly in great shape, looking great. Everybody was talking him up. He was saying how good he felt. We've seen him with a foot injury. We've seen him with a nagging foot injury. I no longer expect, and I think the Yankees have to view it this way, and I think the fans should view it this way. DJ LeMahieu is not going to be a factor this season for the New York Yankees. That's it. Until he is, he isn't. And I haven't expected him to be the minute he went on the IL with the foot injury. Just think of all the different, and especially, I mean, this guy, they can't seem to figure it out with him either. Like, all these injuries, these toe injuries, whatever, I know the Yankees in general have had issues diagnosing things and coming up with plans and certainly letting their fans know exactly time frames and stuff, but which is overblown for me. I don't care. I don't, we get so hung up. It's not their job to tell us exactly when he's going to be back, but the idea that it's, we expect him to be back quickly, it's just a bruise. Him ramping up is really, he's sore and we're going to take another image. Oh, the image is showing this, he's going down the IL. Okay, last week, oh, we're hoping to have him play games on Friday. Oh, DJ LeMay was in the clubhouse today, even though he was supposed to be in Somerset, New Jersey. I wonder why. Oh, we just found out that the doctors looked at new imaging and the healing isn't going as healy as they would like. So instead of Friday, he's going to do a rehab assignment on Tuesday because think of all the healing he'll do over the weekend. And then he goes to Somerset today or yesterday. He has one at bat, strikes out, and leaves with a sore foot. And now he's coming back to New York for, guess what, more tests. I mean, it's been an absolute disaster with DJ LeMahieu. And I didn't necessarily expect DJ LeMahieu to get back to being the 2019 DJ or the 2020 third in the MVP voting or batting title champion. I didn't expect that, but I expected a solid player who gives them kind of what they need, another good at bat, another ball, in, doesn't strike out, puts the ball in play, could hit at the top of the order. That's gone. It's gone. But this Yankee lineup, I'm sorry. It's very similar to the Knicks situation. Like it's Brunson, it's Judge, and they've been winning. I know they've lost a couple of games here or there. They've won every single. They've lost one series. They lose one game to the A's, and it's like, oh my God, how do you lose to the A's? The A's don't have the worst record in baseball, you know. They lost one game. They've been shut out a bunch. They've been shut out four times. The offense has not looked good. This team is built on Soto and Judge. That's how, as they go, so does the offense. And Judge is hitting under 200. I don't expect the offense to really be good. Now, they don't have to be shut out, to be fair. I'm not saying that they should be this bad. But I don't expect the offense to be really clicking or scoring a ton of runs where Judge is awful. And Glaber's another one. I have a problem with Glaber because of the knucklehead plays he makes and the boneheaded mistakes he makes. Not offensively. The last year and a half, Glaber's been one of the best offensive second basemen in baseball. I expect him to get back to being close to that. He's going through a slump to start the year. It happens. They'll start to, as the weather heats up, so will they. I'm not worried about it. I'm really not worried about the Yankee offense. The two last games they lost, I think the storylines of those games are Nestor Cortez throwing seven shutout innings and Carlos Rodon throwing seven shutout innings. I honestly think that's the story of the game. Other than the loss, I care less about the shutout and more about the good starting pitching. Honestly, I think that's more telling, and I'd rather see that because I know the offense will come around to some level, not being shut out. And especially when Judge is hitting 170, I know it's going to get better. Dominic in North Carolina. What's up, Dom?
Yeah, good morning. I got to say, Chris, you've become a hell of a broadcaster. I've told you that before. But I got to say, it's wonderful to hear somebody actually express some joy about what's going on right now instead of critiquing this and that and the other thing. Like, you go to a great meal and, well, I don't know, you know, the wine was a little bit too dry.
Yeah.
It is just wonderful to hear you express that.
With what situation? Overall or the Knicks?
About the Rangers and the Rangers.
I don't know how even any Ranger fan is happy right now. But listen, there is an element to the Knicks that you know it has to get better. But at the same time, I don't know how you weren't exuberant after game two. I mean, it's the great. I mean, you have to go back to the 4-point play. You got to go back to Allen Houston's last second shot to beat Miami. I mean, it's one of the great moments. Plus, I tried to count yesterday. I tried to count, and I lost count somewhere around 76. But I think I heard the word sequence 76 times yesterday. And I happen to like the word sequence. I think it's a good word. And I mean, it's brought the word sequence back into the fold, and I love it. I mean, how many times did you hear sequence? Because it is. It's one of the great sequences in all of sport. It was an incredible moment, and it was so much fun. And I think you could put the Brunson element on the back burner, but it's still there. He's got to play better. He has to.
True. And I will say sequence is a far better word than interval. I'll agree with you there.
Than what? A far better word than what?
Interval.
Interval. Okay.
Interval.
Okay. I suppose.
What I wanted to do is respond to, you had the last call yesterday morning who said something to the effect of, this happened in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Would have gone the other way.
Yeah.
That really made me mad.
Yeah.
Because you saw Milwaukee Bucks put out a tweet, the first 82 don't matter, which is unfortunately true in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
10 teams in each division
right. Have
a chance to win the championship.
In each conference, yes.
The one thing you get
as a reward for working your ass off all regular season is a one-game home court advantage. And everybody knows in the NBA, close calls, and these were close calls, go the home team's way.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing you get.
No doubt.
You want calls winning the regular season.
Yeah, and thank you for the call. I'm up against the break. The other element of this is go back and watch all of the inbounds. Like they allowed a little bit of tug and pull on almost every inbound the entire game. So, I mean, if you want to go review the whole game, you're going to find a bunch of situations where both Knicks and 76ers are fouled trying to get the ball in. They held the whistles all game, including in the final moments. I don't think anyone disputed. Like, we knew watching it that there was probably some contact that under different circumstances or in Philadelphia, a foul might have been called. But what bothered me about that point is how would we be feeling about it? Yeah, I didn't get on Philadelphia fans for being upset or clamoring for a call. I wouldn't have got on Philly broadcasters necessarily for saying, oh, come on, that's a foul. I mean, that's fine for us, the fans, to be upset. What I was killing Philadelphia for, what I was killing the 76ers for, was the excuse making. And I'm telling you, I feel pretty firm in my belief that if that had gone the other way, if this game was in Philadelphia and they had lost that game and we had all thought there was a foul on the inbound and we felt they got screwed at the end and it shouldn't have been that way and there should have been a foul called, I'm sure I would have done the first hour, if not more than that, screaming there should have been a foul. I get that. I might have. We might have all been taking calls about the Knicks got screwed, Brunson clearly got fouled on the inbounds. There's no doubt that's how it would have played out. But I also feel pretty damn firm that if Brunson in the post game said this is unacceptable, the refereeing is a joke, and I got fouled, and it's ridiculous, or Thibodeau started his press conference by saying, I tried to call timeouts multiple times, and I guess they didn't see me. I guess I need to go make a scene and run out on the floor to be seen and heard. I tried multiple times. I even went back and watched the film. I called timeouts multiple times. If that's how the Knicks sounded in the postgame, I would have killed them for it. I would have called them crybabies and excuse makers. Even while I'm doing the same crying and excuse making. I'm allowed to do it. The fans are allowed to do it. When you fall down 2-0, when you lose two games you should have won, when you limit the best player on the Knicks to that kind of night and still blow it, when you're up 5 points with 47 seconds left and you make bad decisions like throwing bad inbound passes, you make bad decisions like not calling a timeout with the ball on the ground and trying to throw it through the defender's legs and allowing it to become a loose ball picked up by the Knicks, if you make a mistake by not boxing out Hartenstein and allowing him to run right down the lane for an offensive rebound, if you make the mistake of not guarding DiVincenzo at the top of the key for another open three, if I made all those mistakes in a 15-second sequence, I'd be more focused on my mistakes than the referees. And I'm pretty sure no matter where they played or who got the calls, if the Knicks were doing the excuse making, I'd be saying the same damn thing. But it's not them making the excuses. It's Philadelphia. And it's not them, you know, barely being able to, you know, lift their head and having their head in their hands making guarantees. Down 2-0, unable to secure a victory, up 5 with 47 seconds left. Weak. Soft. I know the Knicks are dudes and dogs. I suppose that's true. Even more than that, we know Philadelphia does not have them.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
3-2, swung on, a pop foul back here.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:52. McMonagle here with you. We'll get through as many calls as we can. Now, I just saw a stat that me and Brian Monzo used to love. Brian Monzo, former producer of Francesa. I still is on his podcast. But we used to be fascinated with baseball stats on guys who would have either massive home run numbers and low RBI numbers or low home run numbers and massive RBI numbers. I know this is fascinating stuff. But like if someone had like 13 home runs and 109 RBIs, you'd be like, wow, what a season. Or they have 40 home runs and 78 RBIs. You'd be like, how did you figure that out? Well, right now, Mike Trout's on a pace to do that. He's got 9 home runs to lead the American League. He's come out of the gate hot here, although he's only hitting .237. Power number-wise, Trout's been unbelievable this year. 9 solo home runs. Mike Trout has 9 home runs and 12 RBIs. Weird is that? 877-337-6666. Just figured I'd give it to you. That's a perfect thing for Wake Up Sarah. Hey, Sarah, do you know Mike Trout only has 9 home runs but only 12 RBIs? Okay, go back to bed, hon. And also the guy who hit me up on Twitter telling us that the last time they won these games 4 in a row in multiple days was 1970. Well, now he's hit me up and go, oopsies, it happened in 1994, which I would have went, I thought I should go back and look, but in 1994, on 5 days with a doubleheader on May 1st, they had 4 wins. The Knicks on April 29th and May 1st, and the Rangers on May 1st and May 3rd both had wins. So over the course of 5 days, they had 4 consecutive wins in 1994. Starting to feel like that, isn't it? All right, 877-337-6666. Rapid fire style, as quickly as we can go. I know that's sometimes difficult for my man Rocco, but let's go, Rocco. What do we got today?
Okay, C-Mac. Yes. Oh, yeah. That was 94, absolutely. 1970, those were great teams, too. You had the Knicks, of course, with Red Holtzman, and you know the lineup.
Willis Reed, Dave Bradley,
Clyde Frazier, Dick Barnett.
Yes, going through the whole lineup is anti-rapid fire style.
Yeah, okay.
Let's go,
okay,
Rocco.
So the Rangers, all right, the Rangers back then, too. The gag line, goal of game line. Yeah, Gene Ritel, Vic Hatfield, right. And Rob Gilbert, Eddie Jockman in the net. Hey, we're doing it again.
We're doing it again, Rocco. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I told you. It's rapid fire style. We got a lot of calls. You gave me the entire lineups in 1970. I mean, it's interesting. I'm sure you got all the cards, but we got rapid fire style. Kevin in Massapequa, what's up, Kev?
Hey, what up, man? How's everything going?
Good. How are you, Kev?
I'm good, buddy. Hey, dude, I heard you bring up Drake May.
Yes.
Like the Giants, like that's what they need.
What
is the game that you watch Drake May play in the ACC? And you're like, yo, this, we got to get this guy. This is our guy right here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I haven't watched a lot of Drake May. I'll be totally honest with you in the ACC. Yeah. I haven't.
Well,
I've watched his I've watched his highlight. They don't have a quarterback to get the weapon, the ball.
I think they do.
They don't. Not for the future. Not for the future terms.
No way. There's no way that Daniel Jones could throw Malik Nabers a touchdown.
No, I mean he hasn't thrown anybody touchdowns, but no,
and he literally has.
It's been year 6. No, he practically hasn't. I think he went at one point. It was like a 13 game stretch without throwing a wide receiver touchdown.
He won a playoff game against the Vikings.
Congratulations, and I'll love him for it forever. And then he went out and got hurt again, and he blew out his knee as well as hurt his neck again.
I know, I'm just saying, like I don't think you watched a lot of Drake May.
Never said I did watch a ton of Drake May. I've watched some. I've watched a lot of highlight stuff. Now I've gone through. Well, listen, thank you. I'm never going to lie about it. No, you think every Saturday with the kids. I'll be totally honest with you. Am I focused on North Carolina football? I am not. But what I'm telling you, the reason is, one, I have seen a lot of Daniel Jones, so I'm ready to move on. There's one. All right, now you want to get into the specifics of May? I've watched a lot of the highlight stuff now. I've seen the breakdowns. I watch all those guys and all the different breakdowns. I see the arm talent. I see what he's capable of, and I love the project nature, and I love the coach in developing this type of quarterback. I think it's a good fit. I didn't come up with the name Drake May. I didn't make him a top quarterback prospect. I'm not the one breaking the report that the Giants are looking to trade up specifically for him. I didn't do any of that. I'm reacting to what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing. That's it. Never once did I say, oh, every Saturday I sat down and I watched Drake May and he did this and he did that and the play against Duke, never said that once. What I'm saying, I've seen his highlight tape. I've seen all the different breakdowns like I have on all the quarterbacks that are coming out in this draft. I've done, you know, my homework, as people like to say. And now the reports are they're looking to go get him. I like him better than J.J. McCarthy, who, if you want to watch his highlight tapes, it lasts about 30 seconds, and most of it's handing the ball off. So I don't think that they're obviously not going to get Williams. I think May is a guy that will be there at three that they can go possibly go get, or be there at four and go get. I think it's a good fit. Plus, I've, you know, listening to it, it's a bit of a project, but ultimately the ceiling's very high, and I think that's the kind of player the coach is suited for in a situation where he's going to be able to develop for a year under Daniel Jones. And I've seen enough of Daniel Jones. And is there no way? I mean, no. Is there a way he's good next year? Sure. How about the year after that and the year after that? How many years do I have to be it's just how many years before we're positive about Jones? How many years before I have to know? All right, go back and again, give me Phil Simms in Morehead State. Please, let me know how many years it took Phil Simms to be great. It's a different world. Daniel Jones, it's been six seasons, and he was awful last year. And he won a road playoff game, played another one, and was awful in that one. He's had season-ending neck surgery and season-ending knee surgery. How many times do I have to give Daniel Jones a chance? I'm done. So, no, I haven't seen a lot of May, but I've seen enough of Daniel Jones. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. Michael, I'm sorry I didn't get to you in rapid fire. I talk too much. Everybody, enjoy your Wednesday. We got no playoff game. We got no Rangers, no Knicks. No playoff games. We do have baseball, so we'll get to that at 2 o'clock in the morning when I see you next. And that will be Thursday, which means it will be the day of the NFL draft. And hopefully it will be the last day of Daniel Jones as the future of this organization. Have a great day, Fliegelman. Thank you. Warm-up show's next. 101.9 FM.